Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
But all over Australia today, or this week, kids have been dressing up. They've been dressing up in their favourite costumes, been going to school for book week. And as some of you have seen, some of the kids, don't they look great, some of them? Yeah. They look great, don't they? They've done really well. You've lost your what?
He lost his pants.
Lost his pants. That's not a good thing. But when I think about books, I think about what the top five most selling books of all time actually are. And so I did some research on your behalf, and I come up with the top five selling books of all time. These are the top five selling books. At 140 million copies sold is a children's book by the name of The Little Prince. I must admit, I've never read it, but it's there. In fourth place, Tegan will like this one, at 155 million copies sold, it's Lord of the Rings. And in number three, at 800 million copies sold around the world, is the Quran. At number two, at 1.1 billion copies sold, is Quotations from a Chairman, Mao Tse-Sung. I had never heard of that book, but apparently 1.1 billion copies have been sold worldwide. Go figure. Zoe had heard of it, but I hadn't heard of it. And in number one spot, and you may have guessed it, at 5 billion copies, that's 3.9 billion copies more than the one in next to it. And that's probably grossly understated for the simple fact that, you know, before the printing press and when we had scribes and stuff, they wouldn't have counted all that. So since they've been counting, is of course the Holy Bible. It's the Bible. It's the most sold book and best-selling book of all time. And when I think about the Bible, I think there's no other book in history really that has changed people, that has transformed people, that's done a work. I mean, the Bible has inspired people to start hospitals and hospices, and the Bible has caused people to do humanitarian works around the world and feed people and open shelters and homeless shelters. The Bible has changed people from the inside out and taken alcoholics and transformed them. The Bible has changed people on multiple levels, but it's more than just a book. It is more than just a book. Actually, it's a collection. It's a library of 66 books. 70 books if you count the five books of Psalms. Most people don't know this, but the book of Psalms is book one, book two, book three, book four, and book five. So 70 books in total. And if you look at Psalm 1, you'll see book 1, or Psalms book 1, and then there's 5. But let's go with 66 books for the argument's sake, right? Written in the style of poetry and history and letters and dreams and all sorts of things. That's in its pages. Penned by 40 different people over 1,500 years in three different languages, in three different continents, in times of war, in times of peace, in times of famine, in times of plenty, written by people who were slaves, who were kings, who were fishermen and tax collectors and everybody in between. It was broken into two different testaments and inspired by the one and only God. Within its pages, it conveys messages like marriage and death and family and love and suffering and sex and heaven and leadership and sin and shame and purpose and salvation and the creation of the world. And yet with all of this going on in the Bible, it has one consistent message. God loves the world. And if you're wondering, you are part of that. He loves you too. That's the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. We're not like, God loves you. This is book we have that says that God loves you. And so in honour of Book Week, and really for the kids today who are occupied over there, but I'm going to probably disturb them quite a bit, I thought we'll do a bit of a children's kind of intergenerational message today. How's that sound? It's going to be a bit of fun. Too bad, we're doing it anyway. So you got no choice. Man, I'm not even 5 minutes in and I'm already insulting you. That's terrible. I'm glad you guys love me and I love you guys too. But I'm going to need some help with the kids. So I'm going to pray and then let's get into what God has for us today. And someone might need to man the cameras because I'm going to probably move a bit. And anyway, let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the inspired word of God, for the Bible, for the best-selling book of all time. We thank you for this resource that you've given us, these words that are penned on a page for us, your words. And today as we go and look at the Bible, as we study the Bible, we just pray that you give us a passion to learn and grow from it. Make us burn with a desire to read it and to learn from it and to do what it says. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, kids. Give me a yes or a no. Should we give the adults a big test? Yes? Should we give the adults a test? All right, here's the test. Are you ready, adults? This is, if you know the answer, hands up, and we'll see if you how close you get, right? What is the number one doctrine of the Salvation Army? I got one arm up, two arms up. Jason, you know the number one doctrine of the Salvation Army. What is it? No. Close. Someone's run out to have a read of the poster outside.
We believe.
Oh, this is
the soldiers.
Yeah, all the soldiers should know this. The statement of belief, the first article of war. I love the crickets. We believe, this is what it says, we believe in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. In other words, our belief as a church, as a people, as a movement comes from the Bible. Make sense? And every other belief we have stems out of that one belief that the scriptures were given to us by the inspiration of God and they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. This is what we believe in as a church, that the Bible is real and the Bible is from God. Yeah? All right, I'm going to break it up here. We're going to watch a video and then we're going to get into what some of the activities. So you ready? Let's watch this video and then we will, which was supposed to be a little bit ago, and then we will get into some stuff. Here we go. That is the Bible. That is the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. It's more than just a book. It is the words of God that are spoken to us that we have. But I want to today focus on four different things of why the Bible is so important to each and every one of us and why we need to get into it and read it and study it and learn from it and do what it says. And the first reason is this, because the Bible is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by God. Simple as that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed. In fact, some versions might have all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for instructions, for convictions, for corrections, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God or the child of God, where's the children? Oh, three children, four children, five children. Man, there's a few of us. May be complete and equipped for every good work. Now, children, I want you to have a go at something for me. Are you ready? Do you reckon you could say this word? Who's good at reading? Does anybody want to have a go at reading this? Come over here. Come over here and see if you can read this word. Can we put this word up on the screen as well for the big peoples and those online? There we go. Can you say that word? Is it what? What is it? Yeah, that's good. You can spell it. That's really good. This is how you say it, and I had to actually write it down. Theopneustos.
Theopneustos.
Theopneustos. Woo! Theopneustos. It actually is The whole entire sentence that is there, all scripture is God-breathed, or all scripture is inspired by God. It is the whole sentence in one word in Greek, right? Theopneustos. And it means God breathed out. That is the literal translation. God breathed out. And so when we say the scriptures are inspired, what we're really saying is God breathed out the scriptures. And I kind of was racking my brain because a lot of people say the Bible is God's word. And it is. And then we say, but 40 people wrote the Bible in different languages and continents and stuff like that. And that's true too. And so we kind of get this little bit of dilemma that's hard for kids to understand. Adults might get it, but kids might understand it. But kids, I need four volunteers who can write. Four volunteers who can write. Riley, do you want to help me write? Alicia, where are you? Do you want to help me write? You only have to write three words, and they're not big words. Yeah, come on, grab one. Right, but come down here. Come on. I need a couple of people. A little bit little for writing. All right, we might pick on an adult somewhere then. Hold that and a pen. You'll need that. But don't write anything yet. All right, there's a big little kid there. You hold that. All right, Daniel, don't draw anything yet. No, stay here because you're going to have to show everybody in a second. Hold that and that. All right, I need one more. Come on, Alicia. Come and help me out. Be a good sport. All right. I'm trying to figure out... Where are you going, Daniel? You got to come back here. All right, here we go. All right. Here, take that. Now, don't write anything until I tell you what to write, okay? I'm going to tell you what to write, right? And that's all you're going to write on it. Are you ready? Ready? Now, you could write it as big or as small as you like. You can write it as fancy as you like. Do whatever you want. But are you ready to write what I'm just about to tell you to write? Write these three words down. God loves you. Right, God loves you. Just those three words. All right, let's have a look. God loves you. All right, what have we got so far? Alicia, show me yours. Well, that one's good. Just hold that so everyone can see it. Let's see yours. Oh, that's quite big on the page. That's excellent. Let's see yours, Mr. Daniel. Oh, yeah, God loves you. That's pretty good. That's taking up about half a page. And in the top left-hand corner, very little, is God loves you. Right? Now, here's the question I have for everybody. Who wrote those pieces of paper out? Who wrote them? Or did I tell them what to write? Did I write it or did they write it? Yay! They wrote it, but I told them exactly what to write. Did I not? And you could see that one wrote it really small and one wrote it really big and one wrote it with a bit more fancier kind of writing and Daniel wrote it kind of... all. Different styles of writing by different people. He had a scribe. Different styles of people writing. But actually inspired by the words I told him to write. Does that make sense? It's a really easy way to think about how the Bible is written. Is that God told his people how to write it and then they wrote the Bible. That's what we mean by inspired. When the Bible is inspired by God, it is written or spoken to or breathed out by God for us to write down in a way that we can write it out. Give them a round of applause. They can go sit down for a second, but don't go too far because I'm going to need volunteers in a second anyway. God wrote the Bible through people, inspired them to write it. He gave them the words. He breathed out the words. Remember? Go back a page where I've got it phonetically spelt. Theopneustos. God breathed out the words. That's cool. The second reason the Bible is important is because it shows us who God is. It shows us who God is. In 1 Corinthians 15, it actually says, by this gospel you were saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. And this is Paul teaching the church. Otherwise you have believed in vain, for I have received and passed on to you what are first of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, the Bible speaks from Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, to the end of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, of a God who loves the world. Right? It's actually broken into three sections, the Bible, if you really want to dig into it. The first section is how God created the world perfect. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Then it's Genesis 3 is where man sinned and the sin of man entered the world. Sin entered the world. Shame entered the world. Genesis 3. And then from then onwards is all about how God loved the world and wanted to save his people. Three sections. Three sections of how God loves the world, how God wants to know us personally, how God wants to show us and to reveal to us his nature, how we get to see the heart of God and what he wants for us through the pages of the Bible, through God's word, what he breathed out, theonostos. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I'm not singing it. But when I was younger, for those who don't know, I was actually a chef by trade. Who knew I was a chef by trade? A few of you knew that. I've got my chef's hat here. Where's my chef's hat? I was going to put my chef's jacket on as well, but that was never going to happen, really. And I was a chef by trade, and I used to work at a number of different places, but one of the places I actually worked at was called the Oyster Beds in Fremantle. And it's a five-star restaurant. It's not there anymore, but it was a five-star restaurant at the time. And it was a great place, a seafood restaurant. I specialised in seafood. I'm not cooking seafood to you today because it stinks when you cook seafood, and we don't want to do that. But one of the dishes that we had, I might need an apprentice to come and help me here, actually. Yeah, a younger apprentice. Oh, yeah, you could help me. Here, you could have this hat. Let's put this hat on you. Hang on. Does that fit? Yeah. And Daniel, well, you could help me. Do you want this hat?
Yeah.
Hey. You want this hat? Well, you can put that hat on. Don't let it cover your eyes. Come on this side of the table. On over here. All right. And you've got to listen because we're doing lots of crazy things here. Oh, do you know what I didn't get? No, I got a knife. It doesn't matter. Come on this side of me. Come on this side. All right, over that way. It's all right, a grater. But it's all right, I don't need it. All right, one of the things I used to do and we used to cook at the Oyster Beds was this really, really fancy lunch special, which was just really fish and salad. It was all it was fish and salad. And it was one of my favourite dishes for multiple reasons, right? Because it can highlight something. And I'm getting there. I'm going to highlight something today. But, kids, you want to help me out? Just move along a little bit because I'm going to stand on this side and do the chopping. And you guys are going to build what we're going to make today, all right? So we're going to make a fish and salad, but we're not using fish because it stinks. We're going to use chicken. I had the thought this morning that fish would stink, so I went and bought chicken this morning. I bought fish and then, you know, so, and due to modern technology, I three-quarter cook all the chicken so that it doesn't take as long to warm up. And when this is cooked, then we can give it to the kids and they can eat it over in the corner and we can finish off. Right. Gordon Ramsay, no, that's not going to happen. But we used to make a dish that was fish and salad, right? And what we used to do you want to get a little bit of salad and put it in the middle of the plate there, each of you? Did you wash your hands?
No.
Doesn't matter. Let's go. Normally you would wash your hands before cooking, right? So, yeah, put it in the middle of the plate, right in the middle of the plate. That's it. And we'll get some colour in there. Yeah, that's good. Do we have any leaves in here that are colourful? Well, there's a pink leaf. Let's put that in there and let's put that one in there. That's good. All right. Let's just push that aside for a second. And so we used to put all sorts of things in this salad to make it look really, really nice. Why don't you put three blueberries each on the lettuce somewhere? So we used to put, you know, some blueberries on the salad. That would made it look good. And we used to put some cherry tomatoes on the salad. You can
put four on because that one looks delicious.
That one looks delicious. Okay, let's close that up. All right, now you can put some tomato. Let me move this aside. Right there. Cherry tomatoes. Put the cherry tomatoes on the plate. Now, you've got to put it on the salad and you've got to make it look really nice. This is a 5-star restaurant after all.
I do like tomatoes.
Right? And we got some cheese. Oh, yeah. Cheese went on. It doesn't look like you're putting it on there nice, but that's all right. Right, and then we had some mushrooms on there, because mushrooms bring a bit more colour. Right?
Hot.
Yeah, that's very hot. Don't let the kids touch that. And then we would have some cucumber. Are you guys dressing this salad? It's looking pretty good so far. And then we had, let's just do that. Do not do that at home. So we had some red onion to make it look good. We had some... Oh, you don't like onion?
It hurts my eyes.
It hurts your eyes? Does it make you cry?
A little.
A little? Oh, onion always makes you cry, doesn't it? Are you all right? Then we got carrot. What colours are we missing so far?
Purple.
Oh, we're going to get to purple in a second.
The red,
the green, and the yellow. All right, you're making me work here really quickly. I probably should have prepped a lot of this well beforehand, hey, but that's all right. So we got the green. We got the red. And we got the yellow. Don't cut that fast at home because it's dangerous. All right. What else do we have? Oh, this one is a good one. Where is my... Oh, there it is. Have you ever seen beetroot before? Really, really makes your hands go red. So my hands are going to go red and I reckon your hands are going to go red too.
I have beetroot before.
You've had beetroot before? This does have a point, ladies and gentlemen, and we will get there. Oh, you've had it in a burger before. Oh, all right. All right, so we now got some beetroot. You want to put that on the salad? All right.
Yeah, now I'm
waiting. Oh, I'm good, actually. Thank you so much, though. Right, so I've got our chicken. It's almost cooked now because we've got it heated up. Right, so how's that salad looking?
Yay.
Let's have a look. Let's jump across, chefs.
It needs another little...
It needs something. It's very colourful, isn't it?
I know. It needs another carrot.
It needs another carrot. I think it's got every colour under the sun on that. What do you guys reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to do the next bit. You guys sit down just for a second, just then. I'll show you the next bit. Give them a round of applause. Just on the chairs there, all right? So what we used to do, I've got chicken strips instead of, but we used to fry fish. So we would deep fry fish and create fish kind of things. And then what we would do with the fish is we would actually pile it up like this, right, on the plate, so that you couldn't see anymore the salad. It was a really strange dish, but I'll tell you why I love it in a second. Whoops. Kids get to have big chicken nuggets. Isn't that exciting?
Yummy.
Yummy, that's right.
It looks delicious.
It looks delicious, does it? Yes. Can we turn that off and get rid of it for me? So we used to do this dish where we would hide, literally hide, all the salad.
I can see some salad.
I know, but it's for argument's sake. Right, and so when we sent these plates out, all that people would see is this golden brown colour. It was kind of really weird, right? You just see this golden brown colour. And that's how we served it in this 5-star restaurant. 5-star restaurant, we served it like this. It looks pretty boring, right, by itself? Doesn't that look boring? By itself. But what used to happen is every time we made this dish and we would send it out, we would wait if we had enough time to, and all of a sudden you'd hear, wow, that's cool. Whoa, check that out. Because what was happening was as they were eating, another piece of the colour from the salad would appear. And then it would appear, and then it would appear. And different colours. And we had, I think we counted something like 27 different things, different colours that we had on it. Radishes and alfalfa and all sorts of crazy things on it. And so as each piece was being eaten, right, a new colour would spring out at them. Can I tell you, the Bible is exactly like that. The more that you read and the more that you get into it, and I did all that just to prove, just to say this one thing, right? The more you read the Bible and the more you get into it, right? It might look plain from the surface, but as you dig into it, as you read it, as you learn it, a new aspect of God's character starts to see and it starts to shine up and we get to dig into it and we get to learn more about it and it becomes so much more colourful than just brown, golden things. It's such. It's more than a book. It's more than a book.
It's more than a letter.
All right, you can take with Captain Zoe. Go, kids. Captain Zoe, we'll take it over there. Give the kids a round of applause. They helped me out. Oh, we did forget a little bit of mayo, didn't we? We probably should put that on. Oh.
Naughty chef.
Naughty chef. Actually, this is garlic aioli. So shall we dress it up a little bit? Oh, there you go. All right, there you go. The Bible is more than just a book. Oh, thanks for my hat back. They can eat it if they want. It's all theirs. It is more than just a book. It is in the inspired word of God. And the more you get into it, the more colour, the more of God you'll see in it. Amen? It is such a great book. So we have it's inspired by God. We have that it shows who God is. The next thing the Bible does, thank you very much for my hat, is it teaches us how to live. Now let's pretend just for a second when I was cooking all that. Oh, yuck. On the nose? That could be disastrous. All right, hang on. Oh, well, now all I can smell is garlic aioli. Oh, it's tasty too. Things I do for a sermon, I tell you. Now, I could have been eating that plate of food.
Chef, we forgot the forks.
Oh, I don't know, do whatever. Do I have something on my face?
Yes.
Ah, but I can't see it. Don't touch it. I have mayonnaise on my face. Well, how would I know? How could I see it?
Because you put it there.
I put it there. Well, that's true. I did put it there. Where's that? There it is. I reckon the only way that I could actually see it is with one of these.
I can see myself now.
You can see yourself? Well, why can't I see me?
Because it's facing the wrong way.
Ah, got to face it the right way. Oh, good Lord. Oh, yummy. That's nice. I had mayonnaise all over my face, right? Let's pretend I was eating that for a second. I would not know I had mayonnaise on my face unless I had a mirror, right? Well, the Bible is exactly like that, right? It is a mirror that highlights to us. Oh, I've got to get this other one off. All right, that's better. That's going to be sticky later on. All right, now I'm good. Right, the mirror highlights what is wrong with our bodies and what we've got, like all that kind of stuff. But the Bible, what the Bible does, what makes it so important is it highlights to us what is right and what is wrong. Because it's God's words speaking out to us, amen? Right, God's words actually saying to us. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says this: "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalently, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself or herself or child self, forgets what they look like. A man who looks intently into the perfect glory, into the Bible, that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he is blessed in what he does. I don't know about you, but I always want to be blessed. Right? I want God to bless me beyond measure. Now, I don't preach too much about that. But let's face it. Does anybody not want to be blessed by God? Just hands up if you don't want to be blessed by God. Now, we all want to be blessed by God, right? Well, there's a simple formula straight from Scripture here. Look intently into the Bible, which gives freedom. Continue to do this. So don't stop reading the Bible. Don't stop looking at the Bible. Not forgetting what you've heard and what you've seen in the Bible. Do it. So in other words, read it, learn it, get into it, but actually put it to practice in your life and you will be blessed in what you do. That's pretty simple, really. Pretty simple, right? We want to be blessed. That's what we've got to do. We've got to get into the Word of God. The Word of God shows us what we've got right in our lives and what we've got wrong in our lives. Right? What we got right and what we got wrong. Well, you're just moving chicken all over the place now, aren't you? If you can think of it like this, I'll have some later, because if I have it now, then my tummy will get upset and then I'll probably throw up all over the place and nobody wants that. Right. Yes. Now imagine for a minute a guy who owns a company, he decides to take off for a couple of years and leave his company with his employees, and the employees run the company. And the boss, he keeps sending letters to say, do this, make sure this is happening, make sure. So he's sending all the instructions. And after 2 years, he gets back to the company, but finds the company in disarray. It's absolutely a mess. It's failing. They've lost money. It's all gone to cactus. Right? And the boss goes, what happened? I was sending letters. I was giving instructions. I was telling you what to do. Why did the company go bust? Why did all this happen? Right? And the guys at the company just go, well, we got all your letters. Yes, we received them. We bound them up. We put them in nice folders. We displayed them every month on our boards. We did all the things we needed to do, you know. We even got stickers made and put them on the back of our cars. And the boss goes, well, did you do any of it? Oh, I thought we just needed to read them. That's why the company went down. It's going to be the same in our lives. If we just look at it and we read it, but we don't do anything about it, our lives will just fall apart. It's when we get into it and we read it and we do what it says. There's plenty of Christians that love reading it. Plenty of Christians who love to say, I'm a Christian. I like this stuff. I like reading. I read my Bible. But when you ask him, do you do what is actually written in its pages? 9 times out of 10, the answer really isn't what you expect. And it's a shame. It's a crying shame. We need to read it. We need to learn from it. But we need to do what it says. It's one thing to look at myself in a mirror with mayonnaise on my face. It's another thing to actually clean it and do it. And the Bible shows us what we need to do and what we don't need to do. It shows us that because it is God breathed. It's the Word of God. God spoke or breathed out. And it was captured in writing. The fourth reason the Bible is important is because it gives us hope. It gives us hope. Not the Bible itself, but what the Bible talks about. And see, Genesis in the Old Testament, that first half points to Jesus. And the second half points back to Jesus. And so we have these two places that point to Jesus. And in Jesus is where we find our hope. Yeah? In Jesus is where we find our hope. Romans 15:4 says this, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. I'll get the keys to come up, but this gives us a hope and tells us when we read the Scriptures that God is still in control. It gives us hope because when all hell is breaking loose around us, we can see that God is with us. It gives us hope because it tells us that God loves us and cares for us. It gives us hope because it's the God who wants to know us intimately and he's trying to convey that through his pages. It gives us hope because it tells us we can have a better life. It gives us hope because it tells us that with God, all things are possible. With God, we can do absolutely everything. It gives us hope because it knows we can read that in the pages that God will protect us, that He will care for us, that He will provide for us, that He'll be there for us. It gives us hope because when we get to the valley of the shadow of death in our lives, we know that He won't leave us in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. He will walk with us all the way through. The Bible gives us hope. It is God's words captured on paper. And our response needs to be nothing less. Our response needs to be our hope. It's got to be nothing less. It's got to be built on nothing less than Jesus. On God. And this is how we get to know Him, is through the Scriptures. The Bible talks about Jesus. And the Bible is more than just a book. Let's not keep it on the shelf. Let's not just treat it as a book that we read occasionally. Let's treat it like it was God breathing out. And we're capturing that breath of His in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, in our spirits. Let's treat it like we're capturing the very breath of God in our souls. And so we're going to sing today. And we've had a bit of fun and we've done some cooking with the kids and it's been a bit more interactive than normal. But we're going to sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Because at the end of the day, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Christ, what the Bible talks about, that Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I don't know. I don't want to sink. I want to stand firm. Do you want to stand firm? To do that, you've got to get in the Word of God. So we're going to sing this song. If God's been speaking or you've had some fun, you just want to praise Him for who He is, then you can stand as well. And we'll sing this song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Let's sing this song.